Today on Lasting Hope with Pastor Greg Spires.
You don't want to hear this, but here's the deal. You need the difficulty God brings. Difficulty in our life and our walk with the Lord, in fact, is not optional. He provides difficulty to us as a matter of, as a function of, His goodness.
Welcome to Lasting Hope with Bible teacher Greg Spires, pastor of FBC in Medford, Oregon. The vigorous demands of athletic spring training or a military boot camp are designed to strengthen us physically for a strenuous experience ahead. And likewise, says Pastor Greg, God may plan a difficult situation necessary for us to experience in order to grow or strengthen our faith for His service. And coming up, we'll hear how God saw the need to allow difficulty for the Israelites in the wilderness that was meant to strengthen their faith in Him as provider. Here's Pastor Greg now.
People of Israel in Exodus 16 find themselves in the wilderness. They're having trouble finding water. This week, Exodus 16, the entirety of the chapter of Exodus 16, they have discovered. They've wandered out in the middle of the wilderness. It's been several days, maybe a week, and they have not yet found a McDonald's. They're running out of food. It's getting desperate. They're very, very concerned that they may starve to death. The message today is very simply this. God gives what is needed. God gives what is needed. Exodus 16, we're going to see exactly how and why and when God gives what is needed. First thing, verses 1 through 12, God gives what is needed. Specifically, God gives difficulty that is needed. God gives difficulty that is needed. I'm going to just read the first 12 verses of Exodus 16. And so follow along with me in your Bible if you have a copy of the scripture. If not, just listen to me read it. They, that is, people of Israel, they set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the people of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they departed from the land of Egypt. The whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness, and the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. You have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I'm about to rain bread from heaven for you. The people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So Moses and Aaron said to the people of Israel, "At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. In the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because He has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you would grumble against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling that you grumbled against Him, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, come near before the Lord. He has heard your grumbling." And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in a cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, "I've heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God." What were the people doing? The word in there about 25 times, it seems like, grumbling. I love the fact that they were grumbling. Why? Because God heard their prayer. Anybody here ever prayed a prayer of grumbling? And then you're like, "Well, God's never going to pay attention to that because I have such a bad attitude." This passage says, yeah, no, He heard you. You're good. He even hears us when we have a terrible attitude. He's just that nice. God gives us what is needed. He gives us difficulty that is needed. Marathon runners have to run before a marathon. This is what I'm told. And so what marathon runners do on purpose is do something hard. They have to prepare through intentional difficulty that they might be trained for what they know is on the calendar. And some of you are saying, why would you put that on your calendar? That's not the point. You're missing the point. Training leads to strengthening, which leads to preparation for what's coming ahead. And God is giving the people of Israel what they need. They need difficulty because there are things in their future they need to be ready for. And the way they are in this moment, they're not ready yet. And so he gives them exactly what they need, which is difficulty. So what happens is they're in the wilderness and they have no food and they're worried that they're going to starve to death. So they grumble to the Lord because their faith is so weak and so tenuous. Now this is a severe situation. If you and I had gone camping and we got lost and it was 3 or 4 days in and we hadn't eaten anything, especially if you had your children with you, you would begin to get very worried, wouldn't you? And that's where these folks were. Even though previously in the book of Exodus, just last week we talked about, they ran out of water, and what did God do? He provided them clean water even where there wasn't any. And so God is, what he's doing is taking them through a cycle over and over again. Take away what they need, give them difficulty, and then provide them the opportunity to trust him and to see him work. Look at verse 4 of Exodus 16, if you will. The Lord said to Moses, I'm about to rain bread from heaven for you. The people will go out and gather a day's portion that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. So he's going to test them to see if they will be obedient. But there's a trouble with that English word test. You and I, we hear the word test, and generally what that means is it's an evaluation. And a test is we evaluate if you meet the criteria, if you're qualified, if you meet the minimum standard. But what we must understand under this meaning too is not just merely test, but also training. So he's going to put them in a testing situation to strengthen their muscles of faith. So he is sort of saying, I want to see what your response is going to be when you're in difficulty. But in addition, he says, I want you to be in difficulty so that I want you to work out your faith. Push it a little bit to see where your faith might grow. So he's actually training them. He's teaching them to trust him. And here's the training cycle. Problem, provision. How do the Israelite people grow in their faith? God provides them with a problem. Their faith is pushed. And then he provides for them. And they see how he provides. So in the problem, they get worked up. I'm nervous. I'm scared. I'm frightened. I'm mad. I'm angry. I'm grumbly. God then provides for them, and now they've moved a little bit along in seeing their faith grow. Because they went through the cycle of having a problem, and God provides, and their faith is growing. So God is giving them what they need here, which is difficulty. But one of the problems, of course, is having a terrible attitude. Verse 3 of Exodus 16. The people of Israel said to Moses and Aaron, oh, that we were still back in Egypt. That was so awesome. We had meat pots, which sounds delicious. We had bread to the full, which we all know. You go to Texas Roadhouse, they bring out that bread with the honey butter, which actually was created by Satan himself to kill us. It's so amazing. And there you're eating it, and then they bring out your chicken fried steak. Like, I'm not even hungry for that. Box that up. Taking that home. I filled up on bread. And he's saying, we're going to fill up on bread. Or we filled up on bread in Egypt. Egypt was so awesome. Testing makes the bad days we used to have seem like the good old days. Trial today always makes us want to go back to the good old days. And if you really sat and thought about it, when you were in the good old days, you were grumbling about them too. It's just now you don't want to deal with what you don't like today. So remember back when. And that's exactly what people of Israel are doing. Remember back when we had 2 square meals a day and good, always had a job. Well, that was called slavery. Yeah, but you knew in the morning you had a place to go. And there was something to it. But you were beaten. I know, but the calluses after a while, it didn't hurt like it did at the beginning. The bad days always, they come out as the good old days. Well, here's the thing. The challenge the people of Israel are facing here is in God's training. It's perfectly appropriate to say starving to death is horrible. God is not saying starving to death is awesome. However, God is always good. The challenge the people of Israel are facing is they have decided their trainer is a jerk. You go to the gym, you hire a trainer, he says to lift the weights, and you say, you're mean. You're paying me to teach you to lift heavy things. And this is what happened. He's putting them in situations for their faith to be strengthened, and they're saying God is not good, and God not being good is a lie from the devil. It's the original lie. Did God really say, remember him saying that to Adam and Eve? A good God would not make your life like this. Two things. God would make your life like this. It doesn't mean he's not good. It just means he is going to provide you with the difficulty that you need. 2 Kings chapter 7, you can turn there if you want. What is happening in 2 Kings chapter 7 in the city of Samaria? They are surrounded by enemies, and they have not had any food for a very, 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 very long time. They are under siege. The food is so scarce, it costs a lot of money. If you were able to go to a restaurant and they have no food and you'd say, I'd like a plate of food. And they say, well, I tell you what we have. We have a plate of ribs that somebody has already eaten, but they've left some halfway decent gristle on the ends. And there's some stale heels of the bread. And you say, I'll pay $1,000 for that right now. That means you're hungry, right? Look what the Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 7. Elisha said this to the people, hear the word of the Lord, thus says the Lord. Tomorrow, about this time, a sea of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and two seas of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. Then the captain of those on hand at the king leaned to the man of God. He said, if the Lord himself should make the windows of heaven, could this thing happen? And Elisha said to him, you're going to see it, but you will not eat of it. So what Elisha says is this, you would pay $1,000 for a pile of bone scraps and some moldy heels of bread. Tomorrow, you're going to be able to buy a prime rib dinner for $1.50. And the guy goes, right now, I would willingly pay $1,000 for a pile of bones. And you think tomorrow, I'm going to be able to buy a prime rib dinner for $1.50? Even if God opened the gates of heaven, that couldn't happen. It's not physically possible for that to happen. And so Elisha tells this guy, guess what? You're going to see it, and you won't eat of it. So here's what happens. The middle of the night, God sends a terror upon the army that surrounded that city. In the middle of the night, they all kill each other and flee. In the morning, four lepers go to their camp, and they discover it's empty. And four lepers, they begin gathering treasure and eating all they want. And they decide, you know what? We should probably tell that city. They tell the city what has happened. Everybody leaves the city to go into the camp, and they are all eating and stuffing themselves to the full. The guy who doubted, just so you know, the gate fell down and he got trampled by the people, but he saw what happened. So he had a bad day. God can do anything. And we say, well, he would never show up that way in my life. I don't know if he will or won't. But we must not do is say, God is evil because he's put me in a bad position. We have to always say, God will put me in precisely the place he wants me to be so he can work in precisely the way he wants to that I may learn to trust him more. We undercut our growth in faith when we say, why am I in this position? I wish I was in the position God had me in 5 years ago. And God is saying, I have you exactly where I need you so that your faith in the problem provision cycle is going to be built up. So he's standing at the bench press saying, come on, let's go, let's get it going. Trust me, I am going to come through for you. God gives us what we need. You don't want to hear this. But here's the deal. You need the difficulty God brings. You need it. The difficulty God is bringing into your life, and we're not making light of it. We're not saying, oh, it's easy difficulty. Difficulty, by definition, is, well, difficult. But we need it. Difficulty in our life and our walk with the Lord, in fact, is not optional. It is guaranteed. When Jesus said, to follow me, you must take up your cross and follow me. He provides difficulty to us as a matter of, as a function of his goodness. Could you imagine, look at the difficulty in your life and say, oh man, God, you are so good. I mean, right now, some of us are going, I will never pray that prayer. Try again, Greg. But when we look at what he's doing with our faith, we can say to God, God, thank you for the difficulty you put in my life. I would never trust you the way I do today if I hadn't just gone through what you just took me through. Take inventory of your Christian life, and you think of the ways God has grown your faith. Were they not mostly connected with the challenges you have faced? And would you rather have a life of ease and less faith, or would you rather have God take you through faith training, which must be difficulty? God gives us what is needed. God gives us difficulty that is needed. All right, let's keep moving on. If difficulty reveals God's purpose, then the nature of his provision reveals his kindness. Look back at Exodus 16. We're looking at verses 13 through 21. In the evening, quail came up and covered the camp. In the morning, dew lay around the camp. Now, later on in the scriptures, specifically in the book of Numbers, it's going to provide us a lot more details about the quail thing. The quail is a one-time deal. Here's a little food to tide you over till you get manna in the morning. Okay, but we're not going to get into detail on the quail. You can find that story in the book of Numbers. So in the evening, quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning, dew lay around the camp. When the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, a fine as frost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Thank you, Captain Obvious. All right. And Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather it, each one of you, as much as he can eat. You shall each take an omer, according to the number of persons that each of you has in his tent." And the people of Israel did so. They gathered some more, some less. When they measured it with an omer, whoever gathered much had nothing left over. Whoever gathered little had no lack. Each of them gathered as much as he could eat. And Moses said to them, "No one leave any of it till morning." But, as you might imagine, they didn't listen to Moses. Some left part of it till the morning, and it bred worms and stinketh. And Moses was very angry with them. All right, morning by morning they gathered it, each of them as much as they eat, and when the sun grew hot, it melted. So what happened was, in the morning you get up, and there was dew on the ground, dew had left, and there's the bread to collect. Now, I don't know if some of you remember this old game show. It was called Let's Make a Deal. And kind of dating myself, some of you are too young to remember, Let's Make a Deal. What would happen is you would answer some questions and whatever. And if you went far enough, you got to a point in the show, the host of the show would offer you money. Like, "I'll give you $1,000 cash, or you can not take the $1,000 cash and you can get whatever's behind door number two." You remember the show? Everybody, "Oh, what's he going to do? I'll take the $1,000 and I'll take what's behind door number two." Of course, then it's really fun because sometimes there was a donkey, which means you didn't want anything. But sometimes it would open up and it would be a new car, it would be a motorhome, it would be whatever, a new cheese grater. So that was the thing. Open up door number two, and everybody's going, "What is it?" Or another way we might say the door, manna, because that's what manna means. Manna, they went out and says, "What is it?" And "What is it?" is what manna means. So the name stuck. For the rest of time, for the next 40 years, they went out and gathered their "What is it?" "Hey, did you get enough what is it this morning?" "Yeah, I got 6 omers, we're fine." "Everybody ready for what is it?" "It's ready." So they would gather this manna up. So here's how it is. You got essentially, hard exactly to tell, but an omer per person. You know, an omer. So what it is, if you were a single guy, had your own tent, a little bachelor pad out in the wilderness, you got to go out and gather an omer. You got one omer because you were one guy in a tent. And then next door to you is a family which got 17 kids and 2 parents and 2 grandparents and an aunt and an uncle. And they go out in the morning, and they're gathering omer on omer on omer. They got 37 omers in their tent. And the single guy's going, "That's not fair." But the way it works is each person has a certain amount. Nobody had more than they needed, and nobody ran out before they were full. At the end of the day, you chuck what you didn't use. Because if you kept it overnight, it would rot, and it would have worms in it. But here's the thing. If you sneak a peek down to verse 31, we get an even better description of this, what is it, manna. Now, the house of Israel called its name manna. It was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. So this is what one commentator said about this description. He's saying this: God gave them the absolutely best tasting thing most of these people had ever eaten. The sweeteners that were available during that time period, you would sweeten food generally with fruits or with honey. If you wanted to sweeten something, you might find a fruit, you would juice it, and you would use that as a sweetener, or you would use honey as a sweetener. But nobody yet in this time period had created beehives that were used. You found honey in the woods, then you got honey. There wasn't honey hives that people were cultivating. And so honey was an extraordinarily rare delicacy. And they would never find honey. And what they were, on a daily basis, God was not merely giving them something to keep them from starving to death. He gave them something that was delicious. Now, with anything, you eat it long enough, you're going to get bored with it, as they would. This manna will continue on a daily basis until they cross the Jordan River 40 years later. Every single day, a daily miracle that God will provide for them. But every single night, they go to bed with absolutely no food. Every morning they wake up and they wonder, is there going to be manna on the floor again today? Every night they go to bed, the pantry is completely empty. Everyone had enough for today, but God was showing them through the nature of His providence that they could depend on Him every single day for the rest of their life with Him. God doesn't merely just give what is needed. God also gives them what is needed, and it is good. What if they woke up that morning and the floor of the wilderness was covered with asparagus? And some of you say, well, that sounds fantastic. Brussels sprouts everywhere. Gather it up. They wouldn't need, gather a whole omer. No, you got a half omer there. You're going to eat your Brussels. No, He gave them something that was delicious, and it was good. Look with me at Luke chapter 12, verse 19. There's a parable Jesus tells. A guy was very wealthy, and he had fields, and one year his fields blew the doors off productivity-wise. Absolutely didn't know what to do. In fact, he had nowhere to put all of his crops, and he said, I'm going to tear down my barns, and I'm going to build bigger barns, and I'm going to store all my grains and my goods. Fantastic idea. Brilliant idea. No problem with that idea. Build the biggest barns you want. The problem here is verse 19. It's, I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax. Eat, drink, and be merry. The problem was not that the fact that he had a tremendous profit. The problem was not the fact that he had tremendous assets. The problem wasn't the fact that he built larger barns. The problem was he looked out to his large barns who were full of grain, and he said to his soul, I don't need God anymore. I don't have to be like my Jewish ancestors and trust God for my manna tomorrow. I am so much better off than those yahoos. God said to him, you are a fool, because tonight your soul that you thought you had cared for will be demanded of you. Who is going to eat the food of your full barns? And what God is teaching the people of Israel is something we need to understand in our own hearts. God is going to provide for us in a way that is a blessing, that is joyful. But we have to understand, no matter what God blesses with us, we go to bed every night depending on Him in the morning for what we need for the next day. We fool ourselves if we go to bed and we think our pantry is full, everything's squared away. God wants us to be convinced that He is a good providing God, and we can rest in Him because He is going to give us what we need tomorrow. We must have God for our daily provision, regardless of what we might have.
Pastor Greg Spires giving the illustration of the Israelites in the wilderness on how our needs too are provided when our dependence is on our faithful Heavenly Father. And we hope you'll be back for the next Lasting Hope as we present the conclusion of the study drawn from Exodus chapter 16 today. And by the way, this and many of Pastor Greg's messages are also available for listening online at lastinghope.org. You know, most of you know that many families in the Southern Oregon community, along with areas around Oregon, were impacted by the fires last fall. For example, during the Almeda fire in September, hundreds of homes were lost, and as many as 3,000 of our fellow citizens were displaced. If you'd like to help support the efforts of recovery, we have a place on our Lasting Hope website where you can donate directly to this effort. Just go to lastinghope.org and click on the link that says Wildfire Recovery. Every dollar you donate will go directly to meeting the needs of the victims recovering from the devastating effects of the Almeda Fire in Southern Oregon. Again, just go to lastinghope.org and click on the link Wildfire Recovery.
I also want to invite you to sign up for Pastor Greg's Lasting Hope newsletter. Every week he shares stories of hope and offers biblical wisdom that will inspire and reassure you in these challenging days. You can sign up to receive Greg's Lasting Hope newsletter when you go to lastinghope.org. In addition, if you don't have a church home of your own, Pastor Greg would like to invite you to attend our in-person church services at FBC in Medford, Oregon. You can join us for worship and a message from Pastor Greg at 9:30 and 11 a.m. on Sunday. We'd love to meet you in person. For more information and driving directions, just go to lastinghope.org. Again, that's lastinghope.org. Well, that's all the time we have for today, but please join us next time as we continue this message titled, God Gives What Is Needed. That's next time on Lasting Hope with Pastor Greg Spires. Lasting Hope is the radio ministry of FBC in Medford, Oregon.